Christ is risen.
Truly he is risen.
Christo amo fufuka.
Grelia amo fufuka.
Christu ne muriuku.
Muriuku ne ma.
Christos is auferstanden.
Wirklich ist auferstanden.
And of course, Christos voskrese. This is an exciting time. It's a time that also slows down a little, at least it does for me. You're a little tired, you serve the liturgy. I got a lot of things to do when I get home, but it just slows down a little bit. And we can kind of, I think, be a little bit languorous in looking over the scripture, sort of linger over it. And the scripture today is quite beautiful about the incarnation, about John the Baptist, but really, John the Baptist came in order to tell us about the incarnation. Now, I saw something yesterday that made me very sad. There is a heresy, a recent one. Of course, by Orthodox standards, recent could mean 500 years, and that's what I mean, approximately 500 years, but actually longer than that, where this the idea of the substitutionary atonement came up, and then from that, the West took off with that. It just made God into an angry God who expects appeasement, like a medieval lord would expect appeasement. And he gets the appeasement from his son. But if you don't repent, then there's hellfire and brimstone. And this is a God that doesn't exist. A God that truly, if that is the God that a person says that they believe in, then I'm an atheist regarding that God. Because that God doesn't exist. But so many people's minds have been really messed up by this. It's a form of abuse to speak of a God that expects appeasement and is aloof and is severe. St. John's Gospel today tells us the real God, the true God. And he tells it in an image, in sort of a metaphor, that I didn't understand until I read the Fathers, and I still don't completely understand it, but it's quite beautiful. And it makes it very clear that our God is a God of love. He made us because of love. He died, he became man and died for us, resurrected, sent the Holy Spirit, made up the church, everything for love, because he wants us to have union with him. Because obviously, if you love someone, you want to have union with them. You want to be with them. You want to know them. You want them to know you. You want to be together. So St. John is being questioned by the Pharisees. And the Pharisees get a bad rap, really. There were many Pharisees that were quite pious. Paul, Gamaliel, Nicodemus, Joseph. They were very pious men. And they loved God, but many of them did not love God in a proper way. They had a legalistic view. And of course, there were those among the Pharisees that were just charlatans and just career people and loved to get the highest seat at the synagogue and all those other sorts of things. I mean, anytime there's a person that has authority, there's a possibility there could be abuse of that authority. But the Pharisees, many of them were seeking after God very much. So they're asking about John, and he's talking about how he baptizes in water, because they say, why are you baptizing? Well, he's baptizing as a prelude to introduce us to baptism, as and his baptism was of repentance. It wasn't salvific. It wasn't something that transformed our nature, as Christian baptism does. So he says, I baptize in water, but there stands one in the midst whom you know not. And then he says this peculiar thing. He says, I am unworthy that I should loose the thong of his sandal. Now this is a reference, sort of a dark reference, that the church understands to be referring to the union of God and man. That no one can break this union. This union is very tight. This union is very intimate. God, who created the universe and endured all of these sins of men from the time of Adam onwards, he became a man in such a way that this union can never be sundered, can never be severed. It is a very close and intimate union. That's why we have But we don't have it for this icon on iconostasis. We used to have it. The Mother of God's sweet kissing, where the Lord is kissing her cheek, showing his love for human nature, his love for human beings. And that's what John is talking about. That God loves us so much that he will never separate from us, ever. I wish that somehow this understanding could be communicated to people that have been taught this perversion, this human atrocity, where God is made into man instead of man being made into God. Men are cruel. Men expect tribute. Men expect people to bow down before them. Men wield power over one another. God doesn't do any of those things. So when man makes God into himself, then God, his God, is hateful or expects some sort of obeisance. God doesn't expect obeisance from us or even worship from us. It is that worshiping God is what frees our soul to have union with him. It's a natural progression. It's just a natural way. The mother naturally loves her child, and her child naturally cuddles up to her and loves her. And the father and anyone else that is in the child's orbit that loves that child, it's very natural. Child fully wants to submit to that, the mother, the father, the uncle, the aunt, grandmother, grandfather that they love. So that's natural for human beings to have love for God. And I guess you could say it's commanded, but the only reason it's commanded is because we are dense and we lose track of ourselves, we lose track of truth. I remember something that Father Zacharias once said when he was giving a talk here. He's a spiritual child of Father Sophronius, who's a spiritual child of Father Siloan. And he said in his monastery, they don't really have a lot of rules. They don't need rules. They don't need laws because of love. So that's really the law, if you say. The law is love. But love is a natural thing. God is love. God doesn't command himself to love. He is love. And therefore, we shouldn't so much think of love as a command, as this is who we are. I mean, you don't think I'm commanded to drink water and to eat food that is suitable for human consumption. You just do because it's completely natural to your being. So it's natural for us to love God, to worship him, because he is love, and he created us in his image to obtain his likeness so that we would be love. This is the true God, not this God that hates, and this God that destroys, and this God that sends to hell, and this God that almost seems to have a certain glee about sinners burning. That's not God. That's a demon that has been made into a God by men. This is very beautiful what John says. He can't loose the thong of his sandal. He cannot sunder that relationship that God has with man, where he has become man so that he could raise man up. It's a very beautiful thing. And there's another thing from this gospel that I saw right at the beginning. Now, St. John's gospel is about knowing Jesus Christ, knowing him as God, knowing him as man, knowing the person Jesus Christ, the personality of Jesus Christ, what motivates him, how he acts in every situation, who he is. It's all about Jesus Christ. So St. John, that's all he cares about. He doesn't even care about necessarily getting things in the proper order. That's not a priority for him. The priority is to teach about Jesus Christ. And so he says, no one hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, that one hath declared him. What an amazing thing. No one has seen God at any time. We're not worthy to see God. We can't see God. It would be like us saying we could step into a furnace. Everybody's seen those furnaces, you know, where they're doing metal working, and they have these gigantic big, what do they call those things? Ladles, and full of molten steel. If you were to fall into that steel, you'd be burned up immediately. We couldn't withstand it even for an instant. And yet we can walk into the furnace. We can be in the presence of the devouring fire of God and be with Him. Now, of course, we can't see His essence. It's impossible for us to see the essence of God. It's because we're created. Only the uncreated can know the essence of the uncreated, and there's only one uncreated. But that we, small creatures that we are, straw in front of fire, we can actually be in the presence of God. What a wondrous thing. The Pascha is celebrating that. It's celebrating that we have been raised up and that we will not be separated from God. Nothing can separate us from God except only one thing. When the apostle talks about, I'm convinced that neither height nor depth nor any of these things can separate us from the love of God, there's one thing he leaves out, because it can separate us from the love of God. What can separate us from the love of God is our own indifference. That is the only thing that can separate us from the love of God. So this is a time to celebrate the liturgy, have a few good foods, read the gospel, get a little bit of rest, and have this joy within us, hopefully, that God has become man so that we can become like Him. What a beautiful, glorious thing. It will never be sundered. No one can stop it. And God bless you. Christ is risen.
Truly He is risen.